Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Life Full Circle, where talking points include pop culture, faith, politics, sports, entertainment, finances, and more. Your mind is too big to think about so little. And now, come full circle with Miguel Lloyd.
Wanted to have excited to you. This is Miguel Lloyd, your host of Life Full Circle Radio, and as always, I want to say thank you for giving us a part of your Saturday morning. It's just a week, a little under a week before Christmas 2015. They always say we shouldn't date ourselves, but I always do so. Oh, well, you know this is when you listen to it, but the topics are always timely and insightful, and we try to dig a little bit deeper into these into the content, try to make your water cooler conversation a little bit more insightful. So, if this is your first time tuning into Life Full Circle Radio, what we do is that we take a subject matter off the headlines, we dig into it a little bit deeper. This week, we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about Trump, Donald Trump, the GOP final debate was this past Tuesday, I believe, and Trump got exposed. No doubt he got exposed. He didn't know what he was talking about the nuclear triad. Didn't he know what that was? Jeb Bush really came after him this week, which I think was good. I think it's time for him to, you know, this whole fiasco, which is the Trump run, the GOP folks have got to step up. And I've said this many times, and I believe that I'm going to be made out to be the truth seeker or truth sayer on this thing. Donald Trump has never really wanted to be president. That's never really been his desire. I don't believe he really believes that he's gone this far. He's made it this far. This was basically another opportunity to expose his brand. And what ended up happening, whether or not it was intentional or not, it has exposed some of the ugliest people in our society and brought them to the forefront. I've said, you know, social media is, It's a good and a bad thing in many ways, and I believe that it's really damaged the overall respectability of our nation. And I know many of us who really truly care, many of us who really truly paying attention and care about the civil society that we live in, you know, we're not really giving Trump a chance in you know what to be our next president. Unfortunately, we're all just one vote. And like I said, I really don't believe that Donald Trump wants to be president. I think it's too limiting a role for someone like Donald Trump. But you know, he's probably confident enough to say, okay, if I do win this, how can I better my pocketbook? How can I better the pocketbooks of the people who I support, who I do business with? Because when it comes down to whether or not he's going to do what's best for our country, That's not what he's about, and I've said many times, you know, this is, you know, a year and a half ago, a year ago, people like Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, were looked at as being, you know, far right. No one would consider voting for them for president either. And now Donald Trump has managed to make someone like Ted Cruz look palatable to America, and that is very concerning. We're also going to talk about CEO, Sam's Club CEO supports diversity, and the Twitterverse lost their mind. Basically, Rosalind Brooks, CEO of Sam's Club, made a statement in which she basically said, you know, she was in a meeting with a vendor. She looked across the table at the vendor. There were eight white men that were there. And this was following up a comment when she talked about how she pushes for diversity within the corporation, where she, you know, her direct executive board is made up of four white men, and I know a black male and a black female, and I believe there's two other women on that executive board. But bottom line is she champions diversity within the Walmart Corporation. She, prior to becoming Sam's Club CEO, she she basically ran the East Coast within Walmart. And so, you know, and full disclosure, you know, my wife has worked for Walmart for a while, and I have personally witnessed that the leadership and had relationships with a lot of leadership within that company. Leadership within that company it comes from a lot of different walks of life, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that someone like Sam Walton, who started the company, championed diversity, and then also people like Roz Brewer, who's been in leadership in the company for quite a few years, has championed diversity. And that's not just diversity within the corporation, but also when you're as powerful as Walmart, who has the power to tell people like Tide, you need to change your packaging because we need more shelf space, and they did it. When a vendor sits across the table from you, you can use that influence to say, hey, you've got four white males sitting here across from me. I need to see more diversity in your company to assure that the people that we're doing business with understand that we are a diverse nation, that we have a diverse customer base. Because ultimately, if you have people who are making all the decisions, who only have one monolithic or relatively monolithic view of things that are going on in the world, then they may not be able to communicate to the overall customers. And the bottom line is they're not going to sell stuff, as much stuff. And so that's why you see people, you know, and then even, you know, in this day and age, you know, black folks only represent 1% of Fortune 500 CEOs. Women represent, I want to say, it's something where it's around 4 or 5%. You know, it's not like the vast majority of Fortune 500 companies, the most influential companies in the country and many of the world, much of the world, they're still largely ran by white men. It's not like the minorities and the women are coming to take over. It's just all about having diversity to make sure that you are still relating with the changing population. We're also going to talk about the Missouri senators, Rick Bratton and Kurt Burr, who proposed a bill that would basically tell, you know, this is in the state of Missouri. This is following up in the state of Missouri for folks who may not remember. The Missouri football team threatened not to play a football game because there was some just over-the-top racist things that were going on campus, including some feces that were spewed across a bathroom with racial epithets in it, and the administration was doing nothing. And the football players used their power and influence to say, hey, here's the thing. You guys either change this, fire the president, or we're not going to play. And the coach who the head football coach supported them, the white male football coach supported them. And now he is now since retired, supposedly air quotes for health reasons. He's had health reasons. And all of a sudden after this, he says he's gone. My instincts tell me he's probably pushed out. And so now Rick Bratton and Kurt Brewer present this bill that says, okay, kids, if you guys try to sit out of any game for anything besides health reasons, we're going to strip you of your scholarship. And for people who've listened to this show, you know that I am not a fan of the NCAA. I think that the NCAA is one of the biggest prostitution rings. Yeah, I said it. One of the biggest prostitution rings in America. You have billions and billions of dollars that are being made off the backs of these athletes, specifically in football and basketball, the two sports which are largely made up by African-American athletes. And anytime you so much as try to buy them a cheeseburger, it's an NCAA violation. So now we're going to say, in this scenario, if you try to use your influence to you know, which they did in this case, okay, they didn't have any money, but they had influence socially, and they got out there and made a change and made them make some changes at the university. Now you're going to threaten these kids and say, okay, if you guys dare to do that, we're going to strip you of your scholarships. And so, you know, to the people's credit, the people responded very quickly, and now they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. And I have no doubt in my mind that they will continue to try to push this agenda, no doubt. And so we need to keep an eye on that. And this is the type of stuff in journalism they tell you. You know, in journalism, if you want to hide a story, you drop it on Friday afternoon after 3 p.m. to hide a story. In this scenario, I think it's very analogous in this scenario because they're trying to drop this story as the football season is winding down and as Missouri and Missouri football and the SEC is not on the national spectrum. And we won't start talking football for real for some of us who are not diehard football fans until next summer. And so by that time, it'll roll right on through, and next thing you know, this is going to be on the books, and it will be harder to backtrack on that thing. So fortunately, social media jumped on board. It's pretty hard to hide stuff in this day and age. There's somebody watching all of it, and that's the power of an empowered journalistic citizenry. Some people like to empower themselves with guns. Other people try to empower themselves with information. And the information superhighway is really, really keeping a lot of people informed and keeping a lot of people engaged. And so that's part of what happened. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about today. So let me bring in my man, O. We're going to have to take a short break. We'll be dropping into the show for the day. You listen to Life Full Circle Radio.
Friends, blogtalkradio.com/life full circle.
All right, welcome back to Life Full Circle. Oh man, before we get into our topic today, man, I was reading. Man, people are just mastering the art of clickbait in this day and age. So there was a list out there, the most overrated hip hop albums of the 90s, and some clown decided to put Black on Both Sides by Mos Def on the list of the most overrated albums of the 90s. I was like, dude, shut up.
Yeah, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Good morning, but everyone's entitled to their opinion, but everyone doesn't need to share their opinion publicly.
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks, I've heard two albums that are supposedly, quote-unquote, overrated, Black on Both Sides by Mos Def and The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. When you put that I'm done with you. I'm not even getting into a conversation. Don't talk to me about hip-hop. You're clueless. All right, let's move into our topics of the day, man. As we mentioned, Trump gets exposed. CEO supports diversity. Missouri senator threatens students. We've been in and out the last few weeks, man. Family calls, but we are still involved. We're still engaged. If you want to follow me on social media, my Twitter handle is Miguel Lloyd Inc. That's Miguel Lloyd Inc. And I'm still talking about this stuff on a day-to-day basis. Orlando's Orlando KRSB, at Orlando KRSB. We're still engaged on a regular basis. Man, listening to Donald Trump, man, I it's almost like now, and I heard a lot of joking references, but, you know, there's a lot of truth said in jest. This dude is like turning into Cartman from what is it, South Park.
South Park, yeah.
Man, you're getting into third grade debates with people like Jeb Bush about, you know, when Jeb Bush basically said to him, you're not going to insult your way to the presidency. And he's yelling at him and his face is all frowned up. And this dude is like a third grader, man. And he's a third grader with a lot of money and a lot of influence. And it's really dangerous because just like the lunchroom, when you got the big bully there who everybody seems to like, then all of a sudden you'll possibly have a mob. And that seems to be what a lot of people are getting to. Because some of the stuff that he is pushing, some of the stuff, the non-agendas that he has, turning into non-policy, turning into a dangerous potential election.
Yeah, we've had this conversation going back for an extended period of time with Alton, yourself, and me alongside. I don't know what the direction is on the GOP side. Normally, they have a candidate, whether it be Senator Shortarm out in Arizona last time running against Obama. Previously, obviously, the Bush with W running. There is no one that they seem to be supporting. But I do see that there's been some type of formal or informal communication amongst the traditional GOP ranks because, to use the cliche, they circled the wagon when it came to Donald Trump this week. And I saw a collective effort to do exactly what you said, expose him for what he is. But by them doing that, Meg, I got to say something. You know I don't like either side. I don't like Democrats nor Republicans. I did have a disdain for them both the same amount. But I kind of see where the ideology of a person like a Trump or a Ben Carson running to give someone a different alternative makes sense to the traditional norm. So by them doing what they did for the savvy political watching person, which is very few if you just look at where we are as a country, but you see, okay, wow, okay, now we see real politicians starting to duke it out. But then the average American doesn't want to see that anymore. So I think they helped Trump's case. I really do. Because America's not an intellectual country. Let's just get that out there.
You know,
If there's a thing that we say, you know, I hate the word minority. But in its true essence, this is the only time that I'll say that I feel like a minority. You are a minority. And there are white minorities, black minorities, and various colors of minorities. And that's educated people in this country. Because this country is not educated, bro.
Yeah. You know, you're right. You're right in so many ways. It's unfortunate that we have such a low information voter that dominates the landscape, and what continues to drive that as well is social media. I get trolled, and normally with the trolls, I might give them one or two responses, and after that, I'm done with them. Just based on some of the most ridiculous things. You know, this whole situation with Roz Brewer at Sam's Club, just ridiculous to even think that someone who talks about diversity will be labeled a racist. First of all, you don't even know what the word racist means if you label someone who doesn't have the level be able to influence at that level. But anyway, people say black folks are racist. It is what it is. But in this scenario, when you sit up here and say, okay, we want folks to be diverse in their backgrounds in order to be able to effectively sell the product and service that we offer. And then for her to be labeled racist for that, it's just low information people who are afraid that something is going to be taken from them that was never theirs in the first place. Because when you have people who aren't even long, they're not 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 generations American. A lot of these people will come here. If one or two generations of American, all of a sudden they find, okay, it's easy to go up here, obviously, and claim being white and get into that conversation because that's what gives me an distinct advantage. And that advantage is nowhere near gone, but it's shrinking because you have different people that are getting the levels of influence and power who just don't think like that. They just don't. And Donald Trump and the people who are running around here threatening people like Roslyn Brewer and calling her this and calling her that, calling Roland Martin a race baiter and calling Al Sharpton a race baiter and Jesse Jackson a race baiter and calling me ignorant and saying I'm losing because of my skin color. That's just fear. That's just you being a punk and you not understanding that it doesn't matter what you say. My life is good. My family's life is good. And it's going to continue to get better despite all of the obstacles that we have to go through of our skin color. We don't care. Intellectuals like me and O and Alton and Kia Ganey and Roland Martin and Melissa Harris Perry, I can run down the list. We're the type of people who recognize the enemy. We recognize the adversary, and we don't let it deter us. We're keeping it moving. As long as you know the rules and you know the rules of engagement, then you just keep rolling. And you know, when you look for Donald Trump to even be on that stage and to be the center point of that stage in a Republican debate is strictly entertainment. And for the news media to take our minds and be willing to shape us in the political arena using Donald Trump as the barometer is just tremendously irresponsible. But it's all about ratings, right? Because without Donald Trump, quite candidly, would you or I, well, probably we would, but would the average American really be looking at these things? You know, they wouldn't be looking, man. You wouldn't be looking to watch Trump when he's asked about, and Marco Rubio responded so well. I have to give him respect. When Donald Trump was asked about the nuclear triad, and he had absolutely no idea what the nuclear triad was, and Marco Rubio came back 5 seconds later and explained it in great detail what the nuclear triad was between air, land, also the boats and the nuclear bombers or whatever the Navy has. He had the ability to explain that. Donald Trump had no idea what they were talking about. But yet he wants, you know, he probably really thinks that it's still just one button to press, right, in order to start a nuclear war. And for anybody to still want to get into that conversation about nuclear war, like it's just something you just throw out there casually, just shows how irresponsible he is, and he just needs to be a million feet away from the White House. But there are people who continue to consider this dude to be our commander-in-chief. It's just crazy. It's just crazy, yo.
Yeah, but think about this. And again, I do not want to sound like I'm a Trump supporter. He's a billionaire. So unless you come in with about $100 million in excess of net worth, you have no interest in Donald Trump. You can't generate business and revenue to the levels of his con. So, but again, the thought process is even the average person, they're tired of seeing the same thing over and over and over again. There is an awakening happening, and it's happening beyond the levels of the so-called conscious community and those that are awake. I'm seeing regular people really starting to pay attention to certain things. Now, what I think this Trump thing does is it's drawing their attention away from other stuff that they should be paying attention to this little silly situation as far as politics on the GOP side. We're not paying attention to what's really going on with Russia moving the way that they're moving, and this real heated feud between Putin and the United States and Putin and the Western world and China moving independently and for the first time in history establishing military bases in Africa. We don't see what's going on there and the things that are going on in Israel and why Israel continues to have problems. And most folks think that terrorism and all of this stuff is these so-called Islamic states of Iraq and Iran and so on. Yo, folks, Iran was an ally of the United States. There were Western businesses in Iran for forever and a day. There's a reason why the United States is now all of a sudden forming an alliance with Cuba, and allowing certain things to happen and lifting embargoes in Cuba for the first time this week, I think, in, 50 years, they've announced that they're going to allow regularly scheduled flights between Cuba and the United States. That's huge when you look from a political standpoint, because what did Castro do back in the day? He got down with his enemy's biggest enemy. There's some strategic movement happening in the background. There's a lot of moving parts, and a lot of times when you absorb it, it can make your sponge extremely wet and heavy, and it can be too much to bear at times, but there's a lot of stuff happening aside from this thing. But this whole Trump stuff, I do get why people say, I'm tired of looking at the Bush dynasty and the Clinton dynasty and Ted Cruz, you're a joke, and Rubio, I'm concerned with him, because as you said, you listen to Rubio. Rubio understands at a young age what this political system's about. You just don't know who's backing him and what that influence is. But he's young enough, and he's the one that I keep an eye on, because he could be extremely dangerous moving forward in this political aspect.
Rubio, from a position as a young Hispanic man who has been trained, he is very similar in brand and positioning as Barack Obama 8 years ago.
Right.
And so if you can give the people the alternative, the people on the right, the conservative movement on the right, someone who they can tout who's young and has high energy. But I just, you know, the level of racism that is really rising within this country and is rearing its ugly head. I don't know if our country is ready to vote in a Hispanic in that type of position. I don't know. It's just interesting. But the two choices that we have who are Hispanic in Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, especially Ted Cruz is dangerous. Ted Cruz is actually more dangerous than Donald Trump, because he can say the same thing Donald Trump says, but say it in a way that sounds very intellectual, that seems to have a basis, and people may say, well, you know what, maybe we should do that. That's a bit dangerous. So Ted Cruz is the one that I'm. Ted Cruz and making him look normalized is a huge concern to me, because I just think that he is so much of a curmudgeon that I'm not sure that this country will vote for him. Marco Rubio, different deal. Marco Rubio is someone that could. But see, here's the other thing. The alternative, you say, we don't like Bush. Obviously, we don't like the Clintons. But then what alternatives are they presenting? And then you have a Bernie Sanders who, you know, the Clintons and the DNC have gotten so concerned about Bernie Sanders, and now they're trying to shut down their whole campaign because of supposedly one of their staffers infiltrated some of Clinton's databases, and now they suspended them. I didn't even know there's a debate, Democratic debate that's coming up. It might be tonight. You know, not that the media has covered it at all. So here are our alternatives, right? Our alternatives are either go back to Clinton, go back to the Clinton clan, go back to the Bush clan, vote in either Cruz or Rubio, who are new-aged. Cruz is much more, but Rubio does seem to represent his Hispanic heritage much more than Cruz. But in essence, the world would see them as two Hispanics. So you've got a woman, you got two Hispanics, and you have a socialist. Who are your options other than Trump and another Bush? This is going to be a very interesting election. I just don't know where people are going once everything starts to boil down and people start to fall off and people like Pauli Fiorino will go away and Kasich will go back to Ohio and Christie will go back to Jersey, then we'll start to see what is it going to boil down to. But right now, I don't see anybody making a move that will not have us on the Democratic side with a legacy but a woman, which you got people who are not going to vote for Hillary Clinton for both of those reasons. Many who will, but many who won't, just for those two reasons. She's legacy because she's a Clinton, and she's a woman. There's many who say they're not going to vote for her regardless because she's a woman. Then you have Bernie Sanders, who is an old soldier on the left, and on the right you have two Hispanics, and you have a legacy in Bush. You got Trump. Those are our choices. Those choices are pretty scary, to be very honest with you. Not because of their ability, but because there's so much wrong with all of them.
Every box of cereal you just named is either saturated with high fructose corn syrup, fat, all types of additives that you don't need. You've not named one healthy thing that the American society can digest. And this is being done on purpose. And that's why I'm saying that there's a problem. Like, all of this, to me, when I see this being presented and you don't see the quote-unquote, like, we knew Barack was going to be that person from the time that he gave the speech at the DNC some years back in the early 2000s. You knew he was the person, and it was a support. And a groundswell of folks endorsing him. There's no groundswell endorsement of either candidate on either side for the first time in my lifetime. I've never seen that happen. And that concerns me because what is wrong with this political machine that has been in place for years and for years? And so that's telling
exposed,
me that they've
been exposed. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm saying to you that they've evolved, though. They've evolved because right now, this is the dude, and I've used this over and over again, this is the dude on the back of the bus with the three pecan shells and the damn peanut underneath it, and he's switching it around. And we have to pay attention because it's not being presented in the same manner that it was. And I'm saying that that whole Bush era, they become sophisticated and savvy on how they're dealing with things. In the late 90s, they got a little sloppy where you had that group at the Project for a Whole New American Century and presenting literature and folks starting to put ties together and stuff. That was sloppy on the part of just what the whole political process is. Now it's kind of hard to detect. It's really hard to detect what's going on. As you mentioned, Bernie, you know, you can love some of the things that Bernie says, but the problem with Bernie is the same thing that we see here and what Roz is talking about is look, Bernie, I like some of the things you say, but you're 70-something. You're a white man from the far northeast in New Hampshire, and your whole ideology of what America is something completely different as a socialist. Hillary, you're an imperialistic woman who has lived and functioned in a world that doesn't relate to us. Again, who relates to the educated person? Who relates to the regular person? Nobody does. And meanwhile, while we got all of this going on, Mick, you got part of the Supreme Court justices out there just speaking out of pocket like you got an open microphone in a cigar room up in the country club, and they don't care anymore. He doesn't care.
We don't have a choice. We have to choose somebody else, and that is the scary part of it.
Yeah, but we need to hit a Bruce's Million, bro. None of the above.
I hear you.
None of the above.
But all the none of the above.
I'd rather take Barack's nonsense for another 4 years than to deal with this.
No, that's not an option. But we know that's not an option. And so we got to look at it from what is realistic. What is realistic as far as what matters in our lives. You know, it was interesting. I had a friend of mine who I debate with, you know, constantly, you know, on Facebook. And one thing that he mentioned about Hillary, and he talked about, you know, the Democrats pushing the $15 minimum wage deal. Hillary is saying 12. The stance in the Democrats, a lot of the Democratic side is 15. The bottom line is, okay, are you going to force small business to pay everybody $15 an hour? No, you're not. Or you're going to have a lot of people that's going to be going out of business. That's just a reality. The reality is that some of the things that we are presenting are just not real. And so but there's ways of working around it. But it's all, a lot of it is platitudes. a lot of it is just swinging so hard from the left or from the right to say, okay, if I'm on the right, it's all about small business. It's all about you doing away with health care, the mandates and smaller governments. And the far left is all about big government. It's all about making business do a lot of things they don't want to do. It's all going to end up in the middle somewhere. You know, that's the way our society survives, is by playing as close to the middle as possible to try to keep everybody happy, and doing a lot of stuff under our nose that we don't realize is happening because most folks are not paying attention. But every 4 years, so that, you know, so when you talk about our choices, the one thing that is a bad choice and is an obvious bad choice is this Trump fiasco. It's just nonsense. It's a distraction. It's not doing our society any good. He needs to go back to television. I've always said his final play is when he's going to get into media. He's going to get into the business of owning media when it's all said and done. And then he's going to become even more dangerous than any president could have ever been. You know, and then as you mentioned, stuff with Scalia. And here's the other thing we got to pay attention to. This next president may have the ability of appointing up to 4 Supreme Court justices in the next 4 years.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Out of all these people that we're looking at that we feel like that are so incompetent on both the left and on the right for various reasons, they're going to have the ability, whoever wins, to influence the next 30 to 40 years of policy by who they appoint on that Supreme Court. That is what is much more dangerous and ominous than who's going to be in there for the next 4 or 8 years. You know, what level of influence are they going to have on that process? And right now, yeah. if I had to vote today, I would be voting for Hillary. If I had to vote today, because I believe that she has the ability, regardless if we don't like her. There's a whole lot of people in positions that we may not like for variants of reasons, but from a political standpoint, she's the one who's played the game longest. She probably would have the best ability to work on both sides of the aisle and not polarize, because we've had 8 years of almost eight years of polarization in our government. Not because Obama hasn't tried, it's because they made it very obvious from the time he got in there they weren't going to work with him, period. Not through his own efforts, but they just weren't going to work with him. Hillary Clinton probably has enough influence and has enough skeletons in the closet of a lot of people on the left and the right that she'll find ways to get more things done. All I care about is getting stuff done. Trump ain't going to get nothing done. Cruz ain't going to get nothing done. Anybody on the right who I think that they have the ability to possibly get something done may be between Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush. So you get back to those establishment people.
That's why I differ with you, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't vote for Hillary. I will come up with extreme Fredgie Sanford hand cramp before I push a button to vote for her. Just ain't going to happen. Call it stubborn, call it whatever. Ain't going down. She does have that. She's been there. But I'm telling you, the danger of Trump is a billionaire that has a lot of influence. And billionaires roll with billionaires. So power hangs around power. The thing about him, he may not have been connected with what we know as the whole political process, but that above political process, he's been running in that circles for years. And so he's not going to sit there and listen to some of that nonsense, because from a business standpoint, he knows the game. That's what these folks, and that's what you see a lot of these people, and as I said, the awakening of folks, that's what folks see in him, is that he's a billionaire. There's no threat to him. He's stepping down. It's not about the money. You know, it's about change in his way, as crazy as it may seem. I don't know what the hell I'm drinking in my coffee this morning to even be saying this, but I see where people understand and believe in that thing. That's why Carson was there, too. Folks are tired of the status quo, you know, whether they be you know, just the regular white folks out there tired because they think that all of us are taking everything that they had in their beautiful United States away from us. You know, these black people and these Spanish people and everything else. You know, they're tired of it. And then on the perspective of us, we're tired of what we see. That's why you see this Trump dude starting to get there. But I do think that in the White House would work with regards to handling Congress when you really, really, really break it down from his business standpoint, because he's not going to be politically correct. And he has enough influence. So let's just say, for instance, a senator and state, whatever, tries to do something to shut down Trump. Trump has that business connection with the billionaires in his state to work the backdoor channels in ways that Obama's not doing, you know, because he, you know, educated man, you know, not really seasoned when it comes to the whole political process, but is a great deliverer of information and has great ideas. But you can see where he got in the White House and he had a lot of ideas. Well, he got stymied by the whole political thing. Trump don't give a damn, Nick. He don't give a damn. And
I think you're giving Trump a whole lot more credit. And you're giving, here's the thing, here's two things I think you're giving too much credit. I think you're giving Trump too much credit and the power of his money in comparison to the power of money in general too much. Now, obviously, money runs everything. We get that. But I just have enough. I don't believe his money is as big that he can control from the White House as much as I think that you think he can. I think that there will be enough people with comparable money or more money than him that will find ways to fight against anything that he does. And not to mention, he would have to really temper his personality to be successful in the White House. And I don't think he has any intentions of doing that. You know, his ego is too big.
Right.
You know, he would really have to change his level of diplomacy if he got in that position. I don't think he can do it.
But the White House, let's get it real. The president doesn't run the country. We get that.
We get that.
He doesn't run the country. And I agree with you. There is other money that's there. I guess what I'm saying is money runs with money. And so, again, his connections with money, and not just money in America, but money abroad, because this dude has been doing some foul mishmash for years and has never been channeled on it. So I just think he continues to roll. But, look, man, I don't know. Before we run out of time, let's get away from this one, because we'll talk about this all day. See, we miss each other. We got to get back on the air and do this more frequently. We got all this
no doubt
up on this political
no
thing. We need candidates right now. If I had to vote at 11:55 on a Saturday morning, I'm voting for Monty Brewster.
You voted for who?
Monty Brewster, bro.
Who is Monty Brewster?
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. You better get serious about it and take the pill. You better find out which pill you're going to take.
I'm not Drake. I don't know Morpheus. I don't know which one I'm taking. Right now, that red is your color, and they got a blue, and that's Big John's color. I need a purple pill out there. Somebody help a brother out if you work for a pharmacy.
Man, you're gonna keep on waiting for them polls. You're gonna have to go into that poll and hold your nose. You're gonna have to go in there and hold your nose, make a decision. Because this is it, brother. What you see is what you get. Carson was never a serious candidate, and I wouldn't have voted for him anyway because he don't know what he's doing when it comes down to politics. This is it.
You know, I'm
but
never
going to
vote for
a
black man that's afraid to be a black man. You know that wasn't happening. Sheesh.
Man.
If it came down to Carson and Ted Cruz, at least Cruz is trying to be real of who he is. Carson, all right, come on, bro. Let's just move on. I got to hit the cough
Cruz
button. This is the family
Cruz
show.
Is saying,
I got to hit the cough button.
Cruz is the same dude who sat up there and read Green Eggs and Ham on the filibuster and wasted everybody's time. But let's move on. Before, as you mentioned, we got a lot that we were trying to talk about today. Let's talk about this before we go, this Missouri senator situation. What's your position on that?
Well, I'm happy we slammed this clown. You participated in it. I participated in it. A number of people got in there on there. As you mentioned in your monologue, he tried to be slimy with it. And I mean, just keep it 100% real. He tried to get real slimy. He took an opportunity to present the bill during a quiet part of the college season where there's really not much going on in these weeks leading up to the bowls. Missouri hasn't done their Missouri hasn't really been a headline with regards to their football program performing as it has in years past. But it was a real slick move, trying to be placed out there. And I want the status quo within the black community that comes out and speaks and marches to take notice what happened here. This guy presented information. You get all access to your state, your city's Congress and Senate. You can see all of that stuff online. Someone got wind of that online, put it out on social media. All right, I got it, went right to the senator's website, sent him an email personally, got his Twitter account. I tweeted him directly. You tweeted him directly. We know he got it. I know about 100 other people who tweeted him directly, and who knows what their influence is. This is how you jam people up. And this is a young guy in the state of Missouri, and what he's trying to do, it just further helps the cause of what you and I truly believe in when it comes to college sports in general. And I'm not saying I don't like to watch college sports on TV, and I'm not saying we're going to go back to the 50s and the 60s where the dominant black athletes went and played at historically black colleges and universities. But this dude here, yo, you better be very, very careful, Senator, what you did. And I'm not even going to give you the credit of putting your name out there on the public. Be very careful, because I want you to try that again, because you're helping something that I am wishing for, like Dorothy and the Wiz, bruh. I'm clicking my heels singing No Place Like Home, so because I would love for 5 McDonald's All-American basketball players to say, you know what? We can all go and ball at the University of Georgia and become the Fab Five of the 21st century and make a name at Georgia if we all play together. People will remember us a little bit, but what if we went to Howard University? What if we went to Grambling University? They'd make a damn movie about us.
Right.
You know,
right.
We bring you millions upon millions of dollars to these esteemed universities. And there's an article that's out there. I need to tweet that to you. I came across it the other day, which broke down these predominantly white powerhouse institutions of sport and the percentages of black males on the campus who are on athletic scholarships. And it's crazy.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, folks, I'm not saying that you can't go to wherever it is that you want to go to get a higher education, but there is some of your universities would not exist if it were not from our black athletes going there to perform in football and basketball. And then let's not even get it misunderstood. Track and field is a major powerhouse sport in the NCAA that brings universities money. So if you don't want us there, keep doing what you're doing, because sooner or later, some parent is going to have heavily influenced their child to not go there, and they're going to select an HBCU. And that kid is going to have the ability to grab their other friends and go. Because all you need is one group to do it, and then it's not going to be every 4 years that you see a Norfolk State or a Hampton beat a major white university. Because on a basketball level, if we get 5 McDonald's All-Americans to go into one school, irregardless of where that school is, they can go to Pittsburgh State in Kansas, bro, and they'll beat Duke every time if they get the top 5 players. And they could play at Pittsburgh State for 2 years and still make it to the NBA. It doesn't matter if they're that talented.
I've noticed,
it changes the finances of everything. Go ahead.
Right. I think that I think the kid might be at Howard, but there is the leading scorer in the nation is actually a kid from our high school, and I believe he plays at I believe it's Howard. I saw someone tweet that out. But you're exactly right. But from a business perspective, it needs to be done. It needs to be done quickly. It needs to be done at a level that people that is hard to backtrack. Because when I look at Gonzaga or I look at Butler, and I say, now I don't know the size of those schools. Now to us they were unknown, and before, you know, Butler in the last probably 10 years, 5 to 10 years, Gonzaga in the last 20. Now you could probably go out there, and those schools may be pretty large schools, because you know, like when South Florida had their run in football probably 5 or 6 years ago, we were like, what is South Florida? Well, South Florida actually has 50,000 students. So, you know, it is actually a pretty big school. What school do we have that we have in the world of HBCUs who could make that level of a move and has the money and the wherewithal to do it? Is it Hampton? Is it Howard? Is it, you know, we know those state schools down south can't do it because the states will pull the money from them so fast. You know, it's got to mm-hmm. be a private school that really champions that cause and has the money to do it. And right off the top of my head, I think about Hampton and Howard, who may have the ability to do that. And it's going to be basketball. It can't be football because it just takes too much money and too many people. It's got to be basketball. It's got to be a basketball move. Man, if we could pull that off, you know, what is it, the rising tide, rising tide raises all boats, whatever that slogan is, what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, man. Will it happen? It would be great. And it would allow us to be competitive.
I honestly think it's going to happen because I think they're forcing the hand. And these kids are paying attention, man. They're really paying attention.
They are very engaged. You're right.
And what I'm starting to see here, and I don't want to get into the whole HBCU thing too much because we don't have that time allotted to us today, but one president needs to become savvy with social media. And historically, HBCUs have not wasted time and effort to go out and recruit blue chip athletes. So no one's going to select Hampton, Howard, or whatever if you don't send them any information. What I'm saying to my HBCU schools out there right now is step up, step forward, and step into the future. With social media packages, you need to create something. You need to create a presentation and send it to these athletes. Get it to their parents about what it is that they could do coming. We'll give you the same education and actually a more personable education. But we need to start reaching out and recruiting these kids because a friend of mine right now, her sons are going to be playing each other. This week, University of Arizona, her son is a starting safety. University of New Mexico, her one son is a starting wide receiver. Both out of Philly. She did the most for what she had. But Arizona came and grabbed her son. New Mexico came and grabbed your son. How many brothers you know going to roll out of West Philly and go out to Albuquerque, New Mexico? So, and the University of New Mexico made them feel like they were at home. And so not one HBCU, not FAM, TSU, Hampton, whatever, not one tried to recruit him. And he didn't want to go to a big school because he saw the meat wagon system of just churning horses in and out, was his quote. Why am I going to go to an HBCU, Mr. O, when not one HBCU even said, hey, come dance with
me. Yeah, didn't even try. Well, man, we done ran out of time already. Great, you know, as always, if you missed any part of this show, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, lifeofcircleradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/lifefullcircleradio. Merry Christmas to our listeners. Big O, I'm sure we'll talk before Christmas, but if not, you know, Merry Christmas to you, my man. Thank you for a wonderful year. We'll talk to you all week after next. God bless. We'll talk to you all.
Hold up before you get out of here. Hold up, man.
Yeah.
Let's tell the group which you were walking around rocking a Santa Claus suit, talk about the beard was itchy, bro. Before you go, you not getting out of here without even going there. Now, I know that the Cowboys were playing the Packers, and that's always a controversy within the Lloyd household in there in the southern suburbs of Atlanta. But my brother, I think my sister got my brother to rock a Santa suit and put on the beard.
No, what happened with that? And before we go, it wasn't my lovely wife. It was the daycare center owner who caught me out there and hit me with the we need you for to rock the Santa Claus suit for our Christmas party. And you know, Brother Lloyd loved the kids. So next thing I know, I'm at the daycare center, rocking the Santa Claus suit. So, hey, Brother Lloyd, love the kids.
And we do
check out the Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. You can check it out. We had a blast, though. All right, good brother, man. God bless. We'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, I'll talk to you.